Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with my co-host, Pastor Michael Crowe, on Mission from the Heart Radio. We are excited to be in studio tonight, today, to bring us to the end of this particular series on the beginning of the end. And this brings us to Series 9, and we have been going through the church age, and we are going to conclude with the Church of Laodicea. And Pastor Crowe is going to bring us through this last church as we talked about the church last broadcast on Philadelphia. We are going to be looking at this particular church, Laodicea. So I hope that you are prepared, ready to come with a listening ear and have your paper, your Bibles ready, and a mind ready to receive what Pastor Crowe has for us in this particular lesson. This particular church is a church that brings some things out that we all can take a look at concerning ourselves. So I want to bring in Pastor Crowe as we just pounce right into our lesson so that we can get started and we can move strategically through these verses as we learn what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us through this teaching series. So Pastor Crowe, if we could just get right started in this lesson, and thank you again for being a vessel that God has used so beautifully in bringing us this series.
Well, thank you so much, Sister Carnita Smith, and once again, we want to thank you for the consistency of the Holy Spirit in your life in spreading the gospel. We just can't say that enough, and we can't compliment the God in you enough for all that he is doing in you, for you, and through you. And we bring greeting from the Bar Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, located in the Third Ward area of the city over off Burkett and Berry. We just thank you for this opportunity to walk through God's word, and it has certainly been a blessing, allowing the Holy Spirit to take us through this church age, And I'm looking forward later on this year, later on in the fall, as the Holy Spirit takes us through the tribulation period, which is a whole nother period. We'll start with chapter 4, and we'll travel through the tribulation period. But tonight, we want to take a look at one of the worst churches that Christ had to deal with. If on last week we dealt with the Church of Philadelphia, and he had no problems with the Church of Philadelphia, and he promised them that he would protect them and be with them in their time of temptation, he recognized that in some cases they had little strength. But he thanked them for not giving up his name and not being ashamed of his name. And it looks like tonight we look at the opposite of what happened last week. Instead of commending this church like he did the Church of Philadelphia, he really had some problems with what they were doing. Now, it's always been said that learning works two ways. You can learn from other people by, first of all, in some cases, not doing what you see them do. And we learn in other cases of doing what we see others do. But either way, it's a learning experience. My prayer tonight is we learn not to conduct ourselves as the Laodicean church did. We don't learn nothing tonight. Let's keep in mind that God does not like a lukewarm church. And for that case, I don't think anybody likes anything that's lukewarm. So our lesson tonight is to learn and pray that the Holy Spirit gets the glory out of our life and we let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. As usual, Sister Smith, I think we could all be on one accord if we just, if you read that 14th through that 22nd verse, and let's see what Christ is saying to us. And we've been saying all along that even though John is the conduit by which this message is sent, Jesus is the speaker. Jesus is the author. And I just think that if you read that 14th through that 22nd verse, I think that'll put us on the right launching pad, and we can launch off from there into his word. Would you be so kind to do that for us, Sister Smith?
Sure, no problem. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from my gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Amen, amen. Now, once again, as we have traveled through this church age, we stated early on that the format for each of these letters are the same. He starts out by identifying the pastor or leader of the church, and he describes them as either messengers, stars, or angels. They are the head of the church, and he directs the letter to the head of the church so that the head of the church pass it on to the body. And he starts out in this particular situation. He says, the angel. He could have said, the messenger. Or he could have said, the star. And after he does that, he again identifies himself. And man, it's just been a blessing to read over and look back on the different names or the different descriptions of our Savior. In this particular situation, he is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. What a name. What a name. Now, when we say that amen, there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto glory of God by us. I'm talking about the amen. He's the beginning and the end. He's the final say. He is the what? Amen. Now, if you look at that also, look at that word amen. It's a Greek word that means truly. Truly. Now, it is a title used of God the Father, such as in Isaiah 65 and 16. And I want you to take your time, and I want you to look that up, because we want to make sure we understand and know what we know and why we believe it. But you got to go to Isaiah 65 and 16, and it gives us a further look at the amen, the Greek word that means truly. Read that to us, Sister Smith, 65 and 16.
Isaiah chapter 65, verse 16. Whoever invokes a blessing in the land will do so by the God of truth. He who takes an oath in the land will swear by the God of truth. For the past troubles will be forgotten and hidden from his eyes.
This particular title is used in the context of blessings or oath taking. The significance of this title is seen in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is called by it as well. This indicates the equality in the person, the faithful and true witness, equal forthcoming. Certainly he's faithful, and certainly he's true. And we could take that word, he's more faithful to us than we are to him. And he is the true witness. What a blessing to be blessed by the faithful and true witness. But now let's deal with that. The beginning of creation of God. Now, when we say the beginning, we have to keep in mind, and we're not going to linger long on this, is that when we deal with John 1 and 1, rather than Genesis 1 and 1, we'll find out that eternity starts in John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was what? With God. and the Word was God. In the beginning, companionship with God, he coexisted. So we find out that not only was he there at the beginning of creation, but he was with the Father in eternity. I'm talking about before there was a north and a south, before there was an east and a west, before there was a who, what, when, where. I'm talking about in eternity, Jesus, the Word, was with the Father. And he was also with him in time. That's where we pick up Genesis 1:1-1. We move into time, past, present, future. So this letter, as he identifies himself as the Amen, which means truth, and the beginning of creation of God at in eternity and in time. Now let's move on down to that next verse now, because in the 15th verse, as we've been stating before, we look at the omniscience of God. Because in that 15th verse he say, I know thy works. And that's what one thing I want to encourage some tonight and inform others, that whatever you do for the Lord will pay. And God knows where you are on your mission. God knows where you are on your journey, where he bringing you, because he orders your steps. Oftentimes we feel like we're alone, but he said, I know your works. And to those that have been slothful, to those that have not been about their Father's business, he knows that too. The old preachers say, while you hooking and crooking, God is looking and booking. So we ought to be thankful tonight that he, through his omniscience, knows all about what we're trying to do. And all we're trying to do, or all we should be trying to do in these closing days of grace, is lift up the name of Jesus. It's to share the gospel with all mankind. To spread the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. And what he's saying to you tonight, he said, I know all about what you've been doing. And in this particular case, he's noticing the bad. Not like last week, the church in Philadelphia was doing a great job. This week, the church of Laodicea, look what he said. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. Now, you know, I thought about that, Sister Smith, and we as believers, we as human beings, we as men, women, boys, and girls, sometimes we can be difficult. Sometimes we can be indifferent. But the God that we serve knows whatever we are, whether we hot or whether we cold. Now, we want to put that in the context of going about our Father's business. When we say cold, that means that there's no fire. We're walking through the motion, but we're doing it in a what? Cold way. It has no what? No meaning. And to that extent, we're not even hot. Some folks can overdo it. I wish I had somebody. You know, sometimes folks say, man, it don't take all that. You ain't got to do all that. Sometimes you can be what? Too hot. But the truth witness, the Amen, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the essence of God mind, the bright and morning star. Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of a wheel. The rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star. He's saying to this church, man, I ain't seen nobody like that. You ain't cold, because if you were cold, at least I could get on you and kind of warm you up a little bit. But you're not even hot. I don't even have to slow you down, because you're neither cold nor hot. I could deal with you if you're cold. Isaiah tell you, you could be like Jeremiah tell you, you'd be like fire shut up in your bone, put running in your feet, job is in your heart. He can warm you up if you're cold. He can fill your heart with love that'll warm you up if you're cold. And if you're too hot, he know how to settle you down. But when you are neither hot nor cold, he really don't like that. And I think we have to make up our mind in these closing days of grace. What type of Christian are you going to be? Are you going to be cold? Or are you going to be hot? Jesus is saying to this church, man, look here. I can deal with you in whatever state you in. But you're not cold nor hot. You lukewarm. And Jesus expressed his loathing for lukewarmness. He here exposed his dislike for lukewarmness. Now, I can take you one way or the other, but you can't straddle the fence. So we find him saying that the lukewarm, he said, you're neither cold nor hot. And I just wish you was either cold or hot. And you know what? In these closing days of grace, ain't no time for no cold Christians. And in these closing days of grace, we can't be so hot that can't nobody tell us nothing. We have to let the Lord take us and mold us and make us into the type of warrior, the type of soldier, the type of missionary that he wants us to be. That ought to be our prayer. Lord, if I'm too cold, warm me up. If I'm too hot, cool me down. And that ought to be somebody's prayer today, because sometimes we can get overboard. Sometimes we can go too far with it. But Jesus is letting this church know that your lukewarmness, your indifference, that's the worst temperature you could have, lukewarm, in a spiritual sense. And we take that word, he said, I know your deeds. He said, I know that you're neither cold nor hot. He said, and I wish that you were cold or hot, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. You know what I do? I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, the word didn't say he spit you out if you was cold. It doesn't say he would spit you out if you was hot. He said, I wish you were either one. I could deal with you either way. But the lukewarmness, I don't even play around with that. Yeah, I will what? Spit you out. Now, we know that the word lukewarm is a figure of speech, which indicates that the Laodicean conduct is unacceptable to the Lord. Their conduct. And let's don't get the cold and the hot mixed up. He's talking about their conduct. Your cold conduct is not acceptable, and your hot conduct is not acceptable to the Lord. It's been said by many scholars that lukewarm water turns the stomach and provokes it to vomit. I don't know about you, but man, when on these hot summer days, and we approach the summer, we get past this rain, it's nothing like a cold glass of water. But oftentimes, if we find ourselves in need of a cold glass of water and we go to a fountain, we go and buy us a drink, a soda, some water, and it's not cold, there's no satisfaction there in the what? Lukewarmness. He say, I will spit you out. Now one theologian say vomit. Now vomit is a figure of speech which means to utterly reject. And this same conversation came up in the Old Testament in Leviticus. He said, he utterly rejected him. Now, so that we can stay on track, I want you to turn to Leviticus chapter 18, and I want you to read that 25th verse through the 28th verse. And then I want you to read Leviticus 20 and 22. Because God wants to show us something about vomiting out. Now it's just a blessing as you prepare to get that for us, Sister Smith. It's just amazing how we use these anthropomorphic terms to describe our Savior. Now, we know God has no mouth. We know that God does not vomit. But we use these terms to give us a better understanding of what he's saying. The lukewarm, he said, I will spit you out. Now, one thing we have to be careful of, oftentimes we might not know whether we cold or hot. We could call our lukewarmness charity. We could call our lukewarmness meekness. We could call our lukewarmness moderation. But here, the scripture clearly explains to us that Jesus does not deal with the nauseousness of lukewarm. And that spit out means he what? Rejection. The lukewarm means that your conduct is what? Unacceptable. And I ask the question today, is your conduct acceptable to God? Or has he rejected your conduct? Can we do better in a sense that pleases him? Let's go back to that word. Let's go back to Leviticus. Let's go to the origin of it. Read Leviticus 18 and 25, Sister Smith, and then going on down.
Leviticus 18, 18, verse 25 through 28.
Mm-hmm.
Even the land was defiled. So I punished it for its sin, and the land vomited out its inhabitants. But you must keep my decrees and my laws. The native-born and the aliens living among you must not do any of these detestable things. For all these things were done by the people who lived in the land before you, and the land became defiled. And if you defile the land, it will vomit you out, as it vomited out the nations that were before you.
Now that word, you okay? Did you get 20, 22?
Yes. Yes.
Now that word vomit. We have to look at that word from a physical standpoint and put it in a spiritual stand. Many of us that come from the world and have experienced intoxication and experienced tasting something that did not agree with our stomachs. I don't know about Sister Smith, but in my days, they used the term calling Earl. When you say Earl, you know that's vomiting because you Earl it up, you know. And also they call it wrath. Don't nobody know nothing about this, Sister Smith, because you get a hold to too much liquor, too much of what's not good for you, and the fella stand back and say, well, there you go, he calling Earl and Ralph. But God takes this term to let us know that if our conduct is not led by the Holy Spirit, if our steps are not ordered by God, he will reject you. And let me tell you something, it's a lot of things we can go to hell for. It's a lot of things that people think we can go to hell for. But there's really only one sin that you can really end up if you repent of your shortcoming. If you repent of your sin, he is faithful and just enough to forgive you. But if you won't repent, he will reject you. And going to hell is a rejection because you refuse to accept the salvation of Jesus Christ. You refuse to hear his word. You refuse to follow where he leads and eat where he feeds. And you end up being rejected. And rejection leads to separation from God. Now, what is exactly meant is not all clear as the author Jesus is trying to tell us. For the loss of salvation is not an option. The one thing that we can count on with the Lord is that he says exactly what he means. Eternal life is just that, eternal life. I think I gave you John 3:15-16, because we want to establish the fact that once saved, always saved. Many people have different views of that. But if you ever tasted the Lord, and you ever really experienced him, if you was ever saved the first time, look here, you'd never be lost. Now, there's a problem. The problem started from if you were saved in the first place. Because what he gave you, you can't give it back. You can't take it back. You can't leave it because it was what? Given to you. Read John 3:15-16, Sister Smith.
All right. John chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. That everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Man, that's a blessing. God says what he means, and he means what he said. And he said, whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have eternal life. Now, if he had said you could have lost eternal life, then that's what he would have said. Or if you never really accepted him in the first place, then you never really were saved in the first place. But we find here that the Laodiceans are in for a severe discipline, just as Israel was promised and received in the Old Testament. And we can go to 2 Chronicles 36:15-21, and to show God, read that for me, Sister Smith. 2 Chronicles 36:15-21.
The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them through his messengers again and again, because he had pitied because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers, despised his word, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord was a sound against his people, and there was no remedy. He brought up against them the king of the Babylonians, who killed their young men with the sword in the sanctuary and spared neither young man or young woman, old man or aged. God handed all of them over to Nebuchadnezzar. He carried to Babylon all the articles from the temple of God, both large and small, and the treasures of the Lord's temple, and the treasures of the king and his officials. They set fire to God's temple and broke down the wall of Jerusalem. They burned all the palaces and destroyed everything of value there. They carried into exile, he carried into exile to Babylon the remnant who escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and his son until the kingdom of Persia came to power. The land enjoyed its Sabbath rest. All the time of its desolation, it rested until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah.
Man, now if I learned anything, and I pray to God if you learn anything from this 15th and 16th verse, it's my prayer, and I pray that it's your prayer, that we be pleasing to God. Not lukewarm. Not all cold. Not all hot. But that we are pleasing to God. And we find out that this church, even though they were built on seven hills, even though it was a fantastic location, they had a problem. But now let's look at this verse 17 and 18, because it shows us how we can fool ourselves into thinking that we're doing what God wants us to do, when we're really just being cold in the instance, or we're being over hot. Look at this. He says, this is what they thought of themselves. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. See, the Laodicean church had in their mind, and we have to take a spiritual look back at them, they felt it because their finances was in order. Felt because they lived in the right neighborhood. Felt it though because they had a good job. Family was doing all right. They felt it though God was pleased with them as they were pleased with him. They found themselves wallowing in their highness. And you see that verse, you say, I'm rich. I mean, look here. Man, we get 50 cents over a dollar. We pay a few bills we didn't think we could pay. And man, look here, we forget all about how God brought us through that. We start thinking it's us. You say, I got the goods. I got the house. I got the car. I got the truck. I got the Yamaha. God has increased my life. What a blessing I am. What a blessing he has been to me. Because I have good. And we got to be careful in these closing days of grace, because there are false professions that say if you don't have the house on the hill, if you aren't healthy, something wrong with your faith. And I just want to remind you today that these people, Laodicea, from the way it reads, they had it going on. They had the money, they had the honey, they had the goods, they had it all. And they had a highness in their life. Lord, free me from a faith that all I'm worried about is I'm all right. I want to share with others. I know God can open up the windows of heaven and pull out blessings that we won't have room enough to receive. I know if you ask, it shall be given. But I don't want to take for granted the blessings that God has blessed me with and feel like I deserve it. If we're honest, we don't deserve nothing. My pastor taught me a long time ago that prosperity means enough for the journey. Well, with my grandmother, and I know she's gone to heaven, but she didn't have the house on the hill. She didn't have the money in the bank, but I tell you what she did have. She had salvation. She had God in her life. But Jesus is telling this church, you say, I'm rich. I have become wealthy. Man, look, I have no need of nothing. You do not know that you are, and he had to come back and explain to him what all looks good is really temporal. You can put your faith in these temporary things if you want to. The house, the car, the truck, and the Yamaha can all be gone today. If I had time, I'd call up Job. Job would tell you I had it all. And all you had to do was go one chapter over, and he lost it all. Now, according to God's will, but what I'm saying is, don't get beside yourself. Be thankful for the blessings that God has blessed you with. And if he bless you, to much is given, to much is received, much ought to be given. If God has blessed you, you ought to be a giver. And here's something, too, that we oftentimes, those of us that are not high finance, don't have, sometimes you could think you poor, and darkness can deal with you in your poorness, because you don't have it this time. Sometimes you got to rob Peter to pay Paul. And you can let darkness set in your mind and make you forget that you may not have it right now, spiritually, I mean physically, but you're rich spiritually. And you're rich because the Bible said that he became poor that we might be rich. I will let you know today, you might not have the gold card. You might not have the 800 credit score, but you're rich today. And I won't let somebody know, you might not have the kind of house that you really want. God can still bless you with it. You might not drive the kind of car that you want to drive, but God can still bless you with it. You are still rich. Well, how am I rich? Rich, preacher. You're rich because we have the fruit of the Spirit. When we open up the door and let him come in, the Holy Spirit sits on the throne of our life, and he produces fruit. Now, in BYPU and in Vacation Bible School, we learned that ain't no S on that fruit. But he produces fruit. inward fruit. He produces love, joy, and peace. How much would you pay for love today? I'm thankful joy is not on the stock market. I'm glad I don't have to go to the bank to purchase peace. But because Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, sits on the throne of my life, I'm rich with inward fruit, love, joy, and peace. I wish I had somebody out there that could give me a high five or something, because you might not have a dime in your pocket, but you're rich. You might not have a bank account. Your bank account might be overdrawn, but you're rich. Because the old preachers say he bankrupt heaven to come down and die for you and me. Old preachers say he gave his glitter to the stars. He gave his glory to the moon. He gave his brightness to the sun. And he was born in Bethlehem. He enclosed divinity in humanity and condescended through 42 generations just so you could be rich with inward fruit. And let me tell you something. That ain't all. You got outward fruit. Long-suffering. Patience. Gentleness. I'm talking about in dealing with your fellow man. And then not only that, but you have what? Upward fruit, faith, temperance, meekness. I want to let you know today, you might not be rich, but you might let the devil tell you you poor physically, but let me tell you something, you rich. Because folk got the money, no peace. Some folks have the car, no peace. Some folk got the bank account, no joy. Sometimes some folk got the Yamaha, no love. Old preachers to say somebody got a refrigerator full of food but can't eat it. Don't let darkness fool you into thinking that you just rich with physical things. You could be rich with physical things and spiritual things. But these people, where they made their mistake was, is that they thought that they were wealthy, and they didn't need anything. I don't know about you, but I need the Lord every day. That song says, I need thee every hour. Well, you know, really, that's too long. I need him every second. I don't want to live a life thinking that God done blessed me to the fullest and I don't need no more. I need brand new mercies every day. I need brand new grace every day. I don't ever want to feel like I've reached the mountaintop of blessing. I don't want to reach the mountaintop of blessing. I just want to be blessed daily by the blesser. I want the blessings and the blesser. Some folk want the blessing and don't want the blesser. But now, watching this verse, we see how they thought of themselves. Look what Jesus told them, what he thought about them. Look what it say. You say, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest that thou art wretched. Jesus said, let me tell you something. You the opposite of rich. You wretched. Really, you miserable. You poor, you blind, and you naked. Lord have mercy. Now, it'd take a spiritual eye to see that. I wish I had somebody here. Some folks think they got it going on. And Jesus is telling you through this message to the Laodicea that when you think you rich, you really poor. When you think you all that great, you really miserable. And man, if I just stop right here right now, there's somebody out there, you just got the big check, you just got the money, and you just as miserable as you were before you got it. Somebody out there just got the check, and guess what? You broke as you was before you got the check. can see. I know you got 20/20 vision. I know you can read the stock market. I know you, but you're really blind because you see no spiritual need in your life. You're treacherous. You're naked. Oh, I know you got all the suits. I know you got the Lily Ann dresses. I know you got the Jones of New York dresses. I know you got the Walter Powell suits. I know you get, but you're really naked. You don't have the robe of righteousness. You don't have the garment of salvation. You walk around, think you got it going on, and you're really naked. That's why Jesus said over in that 28th verse, he said, come on up, he said, when I was hungry, you fed. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, and I'm talking about, look here, I had on the New Star two-piece suit with the little short coat. I had on my gaiters. I had on my, I had on my tailor-made shirt. I had my name all over it, and I was really still naked. But it wasn't until I was clothed in the robe of righteousness and clothed in the garment of salvation. And let me tell you something. That song say, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Somebody know that song. You can sing it right there. I once was blind, but now, see, I was blind to going to Bible study. I was blind to giving my tithe. I was blind to studying my Bible. But since Jesus came into my life, since he made me rich spiritually, now I see. And he said, stick with me, and I'll fix you where you can what? See. Now look at that 18th verse. Are you with me? That 18th verse say, what you really need to do. Now, he states what their problem is. And he gives them a solution to their problem in the 18th verse. Look what his solution. He said, I counsel thee. You know he's the great counselor. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Now, he didn't already told you were broke, but your money that you think you have, you can't buy that gold that's been tried by the fire. I wish I had somebody right here. He is the one that stood the test of time. He is the one that was stretched wide and lifted high and dropped low. He is the one that rescued the Hebrew boy in the fiery furnace. What you really need is some pure gold that, Lord have mercy, you need Jesus. He said, you need to buy of me. Yours might say a little different. So he said, buy of me gold tried in the fire. I was in the store the other day, and I, you know, you have to be careful when you go to the store, because everybody sell these gold chains. They ain't really gold chains. Those gold chains haven't been tried in the fire, and a lot of us walking around, and it's all right if you want to wear a fake gold chain. I mean, it's all right. I mean, it's shine, but it haven't been tried in the fire. You haven't been through the storm in it. You haven't been through the rain in it. But he said, if you buy of me, you buy of somebody. Look here, they tried me all through my ministry, but amazed. He said, I've been what? Buy of me, not this gold you see advertised on TV, not the silver you see advertised on. He said, but meat, gold, tried in the fire. And look what it says. Are you with me in the 18th verse? That thou mightest be what? Rich. I want to stress that word, they rich. I don't care what you say. I'm rich. And if you think I ain't got it, my daddy got it. Because he owns all the cows upon a thousand hills. He's rich, and because he's rich, I'm rich. I learned that because of adoption, I was brought into the family. And if you really look up that legal word, adoption, you could be in somebody's will as a natural child and as a adopted child, and the natural child could be wrote out of the will, but the adopted child can't be wrote out the will. I'm in the will, y'all. I got a seat at the table. And I got it by him who has been tried in the fire. And then he say, look what he said in the 18th verse. Now, for your nakedness, I got some white remnants that might, thou mightest be what? Clothed. That thy shame of thy what? Nakedness do not appear. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Adam and Eve will tell you, we thought we had it going on, but we messed up when we let darkness trick us. And we found out really that we were what? Naked. We tried to hide from God. God, I wish I had somebody. And I ain't talking about no nudist camp. I'm talking about naked in your thinking. Naked in your tithing. Naked in your witnessing. He said, but I still got a solution for you. I tell you what, I don't want to be that guy that came to the wedding, to the king's celebration. And when he came, he didn't have on the right garment. And the king saw him. And the king said, who is that? Bring him to me, because he's not dressed right. He said, bound him and throw him in the hair. I don't know about you, but I want to be dressed right. I see time is moving pretty swiftly, Sister Smith, and I want to get this part of the lesson out before we had to go. In that 19th verse, he deals with how he loves us. And because he loves us, he reproves us and disciplines us. Then in that 20th verse, he say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man would hear my voice, open up the door, he say, I will come in. Now watch this word. He say, and I will dine with him and he with me. What you got to get straight about that dine, that's fellowship. He'll walk with you. He'll talk with you a long life's narrow way. He'll fellowship with you. But then I want to bring out the fact in that 21 through 22nd verse, he say, and you will be able to sit down with me on my throne, just as I sit with my Father on his throne. Well, now let's make this right now. There's only one throne. But he's talking about in his judgment, we can judge with him. Just like he has authority with the Father, we can have authority with him. I just wish I had somebody that wanted to sit down with him and judge with him in his authority. But let me close, Sister Smith. I started out talking about the hot and the cold. And I just want to bring out an interesting fact. And if you study your Bible, there's a commentator that deals with the hot and the cold and the lukewarm. And the commentator starts out by saying that Laodicea water supply had to be provided from a distance. So it had to flow through the city through pipes. And the resulting water was lukewarm and barely drinkable. And by contrast, the neighboring town, Hierapolis, was known for medical hot spring water. People would come, and they would be healed and helped by the hot springs. And then another neighbor, Colossus, its water was supplied by cold mountain streams. When the snow melted, the water melted down. And as a result, the city of Colossus had what? Cold mountain stream water. And I believe what Christ is saying to us today as the church, that we ought to be either hot or cold. Now, let's put this in the right perspective. People come in to our churches, to our company. We ought to have a cold, refreshing drink of living water for them. I wish I could call that lady at the well. She'll tell you, it ought to be refreshing. It ought not be accusatory. It ought not be judgment. We ought to offer a person that comes into God's house or wherever we are some cold, refreshing water. And that's Jesus Christ. And if we don't have that cold water, we ought to have some hot medical cleansing water to heal some broken hearts, to help the needy. But whatever you do, lukewarm water won't work. And I challenge the church today, if we learn anything from this Laodicean church, we ought to learn that God expects a cold drink of living water ought to be offered to someone, or some hot spring medical water to heal somebody's wound. Thank you, Sister Smith. And I pray that we learn that we don't want to be like the Laodicea. We can learn not to do what they did so that we can be pleasing to God. He said, I can work with you hot or cold. Thank you so much, Sister Smith. And I've enjoyed each and every one of our lessons, and I hope your audience have too.
Well, praise the Lord. I tell you, this has been a delight to me, and I pray that it has been a delight to you, those who are listening to the broadcast. I pray that you share this broadcast, not only the broadcast, but the lessons that Pastor Crow has done so beautifully in expository teaching, verse by verse, in these past series. This concludes Series 9 of The Beginning of the End. And we did look at Church of Laodicea and Pastor Crow. Now, I tell you, you did a wonderful job in explaining and giving examples and pricking our hearts concerning ourselves with this particular church. But what fascinated me, Pastor Crow, was when you made mention of being adopted, and that was pleasing to me, to know that I have been adopted, and to know that our Father is rich, that makes me rich. And I just hope that you agree, those that are listening today, that you agree and believe that you are a child of the Most High God. And if you are not, we have a cool drink of water for you right now. Pastor Crow, I think we need to get on our knees and pray. And those that are not in the will of God,
spiritually now. And those that need a cool drink of water, like the woman at the well, let us just stop, drop, and pray right now for those who may be listening, who may not know him in the pardoning of their sins. So, brothers and sisters who are listening, touch and agree with Pastor Crow and I as we lead somebody to Christ in this broadcast today. So, Pastor Crow, if you could pray, and brothers and sisters, please be in like-mindedness as we pray and intercede for others to come to know him, that they would be clothed in a white robe of righteousness. So, Pastor Crow, if you could do lead us in prayer of salvation.
Okay. Our Father in heaven, we come now thanking you for allowing your Holy Spirit to show us three problems that the Laodicean church had: a lack of divine favor, a lack of purity, and a lack of perception. And not only showing us what their problem was, but giving them the solution and us the solution to our problems. First of all, we ought to purchase pure gold. And he is gold that has been tried by the fire. We ought to be dressed in our royal robes, our garments of salvation and robe of righteousness. And we ought to rely on the medication of God to fix our sin. Now, there might be somebody here that just needed a cold drink of water, or they needed some hot healing water. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you quench that thirst. Somebody here wants to have a relationship with you. Somebody here, if they will admit it and say that I'm a wretch undone. I thought I was rich. I thought I had it going on. But through the word of God, I see I'm lost. I don't know Jesus in the pardon of my sin. But after listening to the word of God tonight, after taking a cold drink of water, I want him to be my Savior. I want him to save me. I want to be born again. I want to dine with him. I want to fellowship with him in the name of Jesus. And all you got to do is believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, you can fool me, but you can't fool God. And when you realize that the Holy Spirit, by you opening up the door as Jesus knocked, let you come in, that you can be saved. And my prayer tonight is that you find a Bible-believing church. And in that church, there's a cold drink of living water waiting on you. And if I miss you with the cold drink of living water, there's some hot healing spring waters that could heal the balm in Gilead. Thank you now. Pray that your spirit move. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you will do. Thank you for what you're doing right now in the name of Jesus. And I dare you to go and be baptized and get on the bandwagon with the Lord so that we could be pleasing to him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Pastor Crow, for that prayer that someone will come to know him. And I just trust and believe by faith that someone has accepted Jesus Christ in the pardoning of their sins. I just believe that, and I pray that you do too, brothers and sisters who are listening to this broadcast. My goodness, I tell you, I hate to let this teaching lesson go, but Pastor Crow, you made mention in the beginning of the broadcast that we are going to revisit or come back and start back up this beautiful book of Revelation, and we're going to pick back up with the tribulation period. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We'll start in the fourth chapter, and we'll move on through the tribulation period after the church has been raptured out, and we'll see what God, how God handles the situation in the tribulation period, in the great tribulation period, and in the millennial period. Yes, ma'am.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, I am super excited, and I hope that you continue to be faithful to this ministry, Mission from the Heart Radio, and let others know about it, because when we are faithful to God's work, He is already faithful to us. So we are to be faith in what He does in us, through us, and what others can gain. Of course, it is salvation. So, amen. I'm excited to come back, and we will have others on our broadcast on next week. We will have some others visiting the broadcast, and we will be piloting some other broadcasts on the ministry, and we will hear from other pastors and other teachers of God's Word. So please continue to be faithful and grow, so that you can be a blessing to others. So, Pastor Crow, we will be back. You will be back. And we will continue to be blessed by your teaching as long as you allow the Holy Spirit to use you, Pastor Crow. Amen.
Amen. Well, I tell you what, I've enjoyed it. And I want to always keep in mind that I want the Holy Spirit to be the preacher, the teacher, the listener, and the hearer. You don't want to hear nothing I got to say, but it's the one in me that could say something that could change your life. And we thank God for this opportunity, and we pray that you keep on keeping on until Christ steps out in midair and house the four winds and bring us out of here. You keep lifting Him up and keep letting Him use you, Sister Smith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, this brings us to the end of the broadcast. Always remember that the grass withers and the flowers faded, but we know that the Word of God remains. It stands forever and ever. Thank you for listening to the broadcast, and goodbye.
Good night.